In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Let's talk about what that might mean when it comes to money. I am Rob West. Many people don't realize it, but Jesus talked a lot about money. He warned us about its dangers and spoke about using it wisely. More on that just ahead. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's Monday, the first day of our broadcast week, so let's go back to first principles and emphasize the foundational truths for what we teach on this program. There are plenty of practical things you can learn about money by reading books or going to websites or even listening to the radio. And those practical things are important. Things like preparing a budget, managing cash flow, and participating in a company-sponsored retirement plan. But you can do all those things and even do them wisely and well and still fall short of being a faithful steward. That's because from a Christian perspective, how we handle money is part of our ongoing discipleship. Disciples are learners. In fact, the word comes to us from a Latin word that means scholar. That is, one who studies a particular area and gains expertise. Now, as Christian disciples, what are we learning about? Well, to state it most succinctly, we're learning about Jesus, who he is, what he did, what he taught, and what that means for us. To use Jesus' own words, he is the way, the truth, and life. And to use a proclamation that has resonated down through the ages in the church, Jesus is Lord. Now, we don't use the word Lord in American English the way people used to, back when phrases such as Lord of the Manor were common. But most of us have seen Star Wars, where people respectively refer to Darth Vader as Lord Vader. A lord is one who has power and authority over others, so that word fits Jesus like no other. He literally is Lord over all. What does all mean? Well, it means all, everything. Being a disciple involves recognizing that Jesus is Lord over not just so-called spiritual things, but over everything. Everything you are and everything you have. He is our authority. And so it's up to us to do, as faithfully as we can in the power of the Holy Spirit, the things he calls us to do. And now, of course, this encompasses every area of life, but let's focus on the financial aspect of it. Among other things in the financial area, Jesus tells us that we can trust God to be our provider. That doesn't mean we can sit around and be lazy, but it does mean God knows our needs and he will make a way financially for those who love and serve him. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us we don't need to worry. Look at the birds of the air, he says. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And he asks, are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus also calls us to radical generosity. Remember how he commended the poor widow who gave all she had? And what about his challenge to give, and it will be given unto you? Jesus also calls us to a life of financial faithfulness. Think about his parable in Luke 19 about a man of royalty who went away for a time and entrusted financial resources to his servants. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. You and I should see ourselves in that parable. The Lord has assigned us a task. Our job is to be as faithful to that as we can. Now, Jesus said many other things about money, but let me conclude with this, a warning about what money can do if we don't approach it with an attitude of financial faithfulness, trust in God, and radical generosity. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And then he drove the point home with this very clear application. You cannot serve both God and money. The word money here is actually the Greek mammon. The idea it carries is broader than just money itself. It has to do with all the things money can buy and the attitude that it can foster. That having money makes me, in the words of an old poem, the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. You can see why Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money or mammon. That mindset that money puts me in charge of my life goes against the very essence of Christian discipleship. We are not masters of our own fate or captains of our own souls. Jesus is our master. He is our captain and he is Lord. Lord. So remember, it's about serving Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is Lord, and so we gladly take His yoke and learn from Him, recognizing that He loves us and He's with us every step of the way. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside Him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Country music legend Naomi Judd died at 76. She and Winona won 9 Country Music Awards. Ever wonder what happens when people die? The Bible says the follower of Jesus goes into the presence of God. Those who reject God's salvation and die in their sins await judgment day in a real place called hell. The only safe way to prepare for eternity is with Jesus. I hope Naomi knew Jesus. Do you? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you along with us this morning on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Delighted to be back with you. It's week 2 of our new program as we mine the scriptures and bring God's wisdom to bear on your financial decisions and choices. What are you thinking about today, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. We've got lines open. Pat waiting to take your call. We'll get you on the air quickly. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. And jot that down because that will be the number you call during this hour each broadcast day. Again, 800-525-7000. Do you want to know about saving? Is it giving? Perhaps it's your spending plan or that pesky credit score. Whatever it is you're dealing with today, whatever questions you have, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Before we go to the phones and take your calls, let me mention that I will be introducing you to one of our contributors today here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. My good friend Bob Dahl is a Wall Street industry veteran. He has managed literally billions and billions of dollars and does that today as a mutual fund manager with Crossmark Global Investments. Bob joins us each Monday and shares our market analysis based on his Dahl's deliberations. And Bob is somebody who can really assess the markets, the economy, and do that in light of a biblical worldview. And I always appreciate and rely heavily on Bob's insights and analysis. And so I know you will come to appreciate that as well. Each Monday, Bob will stop by a little later in the broadcast. Dow Jones off to a good start today, up 325 points as we recover from the losing week last week. Stocks at least bouncing here at the open. A lot of information swirling today that we'll unpack with Bob. We saw non-farm payrolls rising about 390,000 jobs. We had unemployment rate remaining low at 3.6%. Bottom line is the U.S. economy won't go into a recession without labor market weakness. We're at least not seeing that at this point. But a lot of moving targets out there and information that we will be considering today, including some disinflationary pressures that are emerging. We'll talk to Bob about that. Of course, the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war tipping a fragile world towards mass hunger. And so we're going to be discussing that today and a whole host of other issues, including the Fed. So stay tuned for our time with Bob Dahl a little later in the broadcast. Again, with your questions today, 800-525-7000. Let me start today by talking about some questions you can ask related to borrowing. That's right. Borrowing is not a sin, but there are clear warnings in Scripture on the use of debt. And I think asking some questions can really help to avoid the dangers of debt as you think about perhaps how debt interfaces with your financial life on a daily basis. So consider these questions. First, is the economic return greater than the economic cost? That's right. Whenever we think about borrowing, we want to make sure that there's going to be an economic return greater than the economic cost. Now, you might say, well, how does that apply? Well, that means you're going to only borrow for things that are appreciating whenever possible. That would be homes or perhaps for your small business that you have to borrow to put more product on the shelves, whatever it might be. That takes off the table credit cards where we're funding lifestyle spending. That certainly is not going to produce an economic return greater than the economic cost. That would also take off the table things like cars where these are depreciating assets. Now, with that said, I realize that cars, especially now, given the prices in light of the supply constraints that we're facing with chips and just a whole host of other issues that are pandemic related, car prices have moved up significantly, both in the used car market and in the new car market. And so it's pushed them out of reach for many folks. So I think the key is, as you borrow for your car, let's try to get that paid off as quickly as we can. Let's borrow as little as possible. And when it's paid off, let's try to continue making the payment to the bank of you so that when you need to replace that vehicle, you're able to do that with cash. That's the idea. All right, so that's question number one. Is the economic return greater than the economic cost? Before we go to question number two, let me mention again, in just a moment, we'll be taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, question number two, as you think about borrowing, number two is, are you presuming upon the future when you take the debt out? That's right. Do you have a guaranteed way of repaying? This is the idea of surety that we see in the Bible. And clearly, we want to make sure that we're not presuming upon the future to the best of our ability. Our trust is in the Lord, but we also have a plan. And we don't take debt out without a certain way of repaying. That means in just about every case, we're going to want to borrow for things that are collateralized. So at the very least, we could sell the asset and pay it back. That would ensure that that is a reality. All right, question number three, am I denying God an opportunity to provide? Now think about this one for a second. Often we use debt in a way that prevents God from intervening Instead of spreading the bills on the table and saying, okay, Lord, you see what I've got here. I'm going to trust you for the answer. We pull out the credit card and move to the plastic, and that robs God of the opportunity to intervene. I think we need to be careful on, am I denying God an opportunity to provide? All right, before we get to question number four, let's hit the phones because four is a big one, but you're going to have to wait for it. We're going to head to Virginia for our first call of the day. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Bill, thanks for calling today, sir. How can we help?
Hey, thanks. I'm 61, carry no debt other than a mortgage, but I'm just retired. I grew my 401k very large. Yeah. What about tithing on that? Do I just tithe when I withdraw? Or yeah. Because, you know, what I have in the 401k is much larger than what I put in.
Yeah, of you course.
Know, I tithed on my gross when I was saving in the 401k, but now the 401k is huge. I'm just curious, how do I tithe that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate the heart behind that, Bill, because clearly you want to honor the Lord as you're managing this asset. It has grown significantly, and now you're wondering, how do I apply the principle of the tithe? Well, I think if we recognize the starting point is we can't outgive God, then we need to be on our knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? A simple way would be to say, as you pull money out, because it's a tax-deferred environment and there are tax implications every time you withdraw, as you pull money out, you could just say, Lord, I recognize part of this is a return of my initial contribution, part of this is my increase, but I'm just going to treat it all as my income and my increase, and therefore I'm going to tithe a tenth as it comes out on the whole thing. That would be one approach. Now, you could very appropriately say, Bill, yeah, but a portion of that I've already tithed on it, and so I'm, you know, giving on that portion again, and you would be correct. The other way to approach it is to say, let me total up all of my contributions over the life of the account and determine what percent was a contribution and therefore what percent has been from an increase. And then every time I take a withdrawal, I could essentially tithe on the percentage of that withdrawal that I would attribute to my increase, which was anything over and above the total of all of the contributions that I put in over the years. So I think there's a couple of ways you could approach it. We're not trying to be legalistic about it. I know you're not either, but that's at least a couple of ways to think about it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So, you know, if I tithe on the withdrawals whenever that happens to me, I'll be sure to
That's exactly right. You'd have it covered, my friend. Hey, we got to take a break, but we appreciate your call today. Thanks for your giving heart and your generosity. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The founding fathers of this country, 90% of them were very serious Christians. There were many pastors, theologians.
Sandy Rios.
At that time, it wasn't mutually exclusive to be a politician and a theologian or to fight for your country.
Now is our time to stand for those biblical principles America's founding fathers treasured. Sandy Rios in the Morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply God's principles to your financial decisions and choices. We do that together each morning in a way that's encouraging and hopeful and dependent upon the Lord. Because here's what we recognize at MoneyWise. We recognize God owns it all. That makes us stewards or managers of His resources. And therefore, money becomes a tool to accomplish His purposes. The question is, how do we use that tool, money, to align our values and priorities as believers with how we're handling God's money, the way we invest it, the way we save it, the way we live on it and provide for our families, yes, the way we give it away, and even when we're paying down debt. What does that look like in light of God's Word, the whole counsel of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, not just proof texting and pulling a verse or two out, but looking at the heart of God related to the whole Bible and saying, how do we apply God's heart to how we manage His money? Because as a steward, we want to reflect the master's wishes. Anytime you would become a steward or a manager of anything, you would want to reflect the owner's heart as you manage that particular asset. Think of it like a trustee being governed by a trust document. A trustee would carry out the wishes of the owner of the trust as laid out in the trust document. Well, we might think of that as the Bible and how we manage God's resources as stewards. Let's do that together. What are your questions? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got several lines open today. Again, 800-525-7000. All right. Just a few minutes ago, I was sharing four questions to ask before you borrow. I mentioned the first one is the economic return greater than the economic cost? That's a question that simply says, if I'm going to borrow, I should only borrow for assets that are appreciating when at all possible. Number two, am I presuming upon the future when I take out debt? That's obviously key. Third, am I denying God an opportunity to provide? If I were to take a step back and say, Lord, I don't know where these resources are going to come from, but I trust you as my provider, and I'm going to do what I need to do to put myself in a position to experience your provision rather than pulling out the plastic. And then question number four, and this is the new one that I didn't mention in the last segment, and this is a big one. Do I have unity with my spouse? This is huge. If you're married, before you borrow, I would go as far as to say you absolutely need to have complete unity with your spouse before you make any borrowing decisions. And so these are big ideas. And I think that if you ask these four questions before you borrow anything, it will make all the difference in the world. Again, borrowing is not unbiblical, but we need to be careful and heed the counsel of Scripture as it relates to the warnings that are present related to this particular topic. All right, we'll be taking your phone calls and questions here in just a moment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have a few lines open today. Interesting, from the news today, mortgage rates are easing a bit. Borrowers in the market for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage will find rates averaging 5.941 today, a decrease of about a half a percent from last week's ending rates, latest 15-year rates at 4.773. Now, you might say, well, well, Rob, that's significantly higher than where we were several months ago, and you'd be absolutely right. Rates are on the move, commensurate with what the Fed is doing. The Federal Reserve increases their rate increases to control inflation are definitely starting to influence home values as well. Experts are expecting the rapid rise in home values to begin to level off, which is good news for those looking for a home. The median existing home sales price increased at a slower year-over-year pace of 14.8% to $391,000 in April. Incredible to think that that is the median existing home sales price, but it is that according to the National Association of Realtors. So interesting what's going on as rates rise, as home prices cool. I don't think we're anywhere near a bubble situation. I think the rise in home prices is largely due to a lack of inventory. So I think that the economy is slowing. And the mortgage rate increases will certainly cause the housing market to level off, but I don't see any kind of declines on the horizon anytime soon. Still in a buyer's market, so you've got to be careful and mindful as you're out there looking for a home. Here's the tendency in this kind of market. The tendency is to stretch and pay more than you could afford or can afford on a home because you're trying to get into the market and not miss it. Be careful. You don't want to get out ahead of your budget whenever you're making a home purchase. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Kim is in Tennessee, and Kim, you're on MoneyWise. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a question about giving. I don't know the book chapter and verse off the top of my head, but I know that there's a verse about giving as you prosper, but then there's another verse about I think that the saints gave on the first day of the week, and I'm not sure. Look, if you only get paid twice a month, that's when you prosper. So is it okay to give at twice a month, or are you supposed to give every Sunday when you go to church?
Yes. Well, I appreciate that question, Kim. You know, my approach is to say the Lord knows our hearts, and it's not about the money. It's always been about the heart, and money is the way we handle it is often the training ground of the heart. And yes, we should be generous. We should be givers. And I think the idea of the tithe, the principle of the tithe, clearly taught in the Old Testament, referenced by Jesus and several times in the New Testament, is about giving in proportion to our increase, and doing that starting with the local church. And so you're right. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. I think the idea here is that if you were to apply this principle of the tithe on your increase whenever you're paid and then give, whether that's once a month, or every 2 weeks, I believe that honors the spirit of what the scriptures are getting at. So I think it's just what works for you, what rhythms you want to establish, whether that's every Sunday morning at the breakfast table before you go to church, just saying what came in this week and then giving, or doing that once a month in person or electronically. I think the Lord knows your heart and will honor that decision. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
What do normal human beings want for a six-year-old?
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
To be loved, to be protected, to be shielded from some of the ugliness in the world. But you got these nutcases who want to push on a six-year-old that you are inherently evil because of the color of your skin.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Glad to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We've got some lines open today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking about the tithe. In fact, a couple of questions about giving today. I so appreciate that this audience here, in just a few episodes into the launch of MoneyWise on American Family Radio, seems like you all want to talk about giving a lot, and I love that. Giving is what breaks the grip of money over our lives. It's a way we can be a part of God's activity as we align His resources with where He is at work. A lot of you referencing the tithe, and I think that's a great place to begin. You know, my friend Randy Alcorn says the tithe is the training wheels of giving. You remember Jesus raised the bar quite a bit. Old Testament giving went far beyond 10%. In fact, when you total them up, it was about 23 1/3 percent of their income. They would make offerings on the first fruits at the beginning of their harvest. But then there was also an offering made at the Feast of Weeks in proportion to the size of their harvest. Then they would follow that with another offering at the Feast of Booths. So giving went far beyond that. But when Jesus entered the scene, he took giving to an even higher level. He showed a different way of giving, and I would call it whole life generosity. He demonstrated that in the ultimate way, giving his life as a sacrifice for us. But when he talked about money, he taught that we should give as we've been blessed in Luke 6. And to whom much is given, much is required in Luke 12. He commended the poor widow who gave her last two copper coins, and he challenged the rich young ruler to give away all of his wealth. So I think what we need to recognize is that we should be about holding what God entrusts to us loosely so we can give generously. And that's for each of us to decide on our knees with the Lord. But there's one thing that's absolutely clear, is that we're most like God, I believe, when we're giving, because we were created in His image and He's the ultimate giver. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000. Colleen's in Virginia. Colleen, you're on MoneyWise. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me? I don't know if I shut my radio off.
You sound just fine. Yeah, you go right ahead.
Awesome. Okay. I'm 69 years old. I've been working for the last 8 years. Full-time and putting money away for retirement. Circumstances were such that it couldn't be done before then, and I was taking the maximum out. The problem is I'm about to change jobs. I have to transfer that money someplace, but I'm I'm running a little bit scared because the money that I have already saved up for my retirement is going down. And it's I don't know, I'm invested in a T. Rowe Price fund that it is supposed to mature, I think, in 2025.
Okay.
I don't know whether to take the money out. I don't know what to do with money now because as I put money in, it's coming out.
Yeah.
It's going away.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. And I'll address that, Colleen. Quick question for you, though. You said you're starting a new job and you believe you're going to continue to work if you have good health and are able to do so for at least another 10 years. Did I hear that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. You know, I would just continue contributing. I realize it can be frustrating to think, wait a minute, I'm putting money in, and as I make these contributions, I'm seeing declines, and that's just because of the market volatility and the sell-off that we've been experiencing as of late. The good news is, though, as you make these systematic contributions through salary deferral into your 401k, you're doing what we call dollar cost averaging. So as the fixed amount goes in as a percentage of your income, you're buying more shares with the same amount of contribution because everything's on sale. These stocks are selling at a discount. Now, you may want to tweak that lifestyle fund or the fund that you have that's targeted toward your retirement date of 2025, you may want to push that out a bit, given that you know, you plan to continue to work for the next 10 years. That would make it slightly more aggressive, a little less in the way of bonds. But the good news is that would you know, have you positioned in such a way that's going to allow you to experience the growth of this portfolio as the market recovers. Now, could it continue to sell off? Absolutely. We have some real headwinds that we're facing right now. You know, we could be in a recession next year. Recessions typically happen every 10 years or so. We're certainly overdue for one. And on average, they last about 11 months. So I would say that as long as your time horizon is 10 years or so, I would just continue faithfully contributing, recognizing in any given month or quarter or even 6 months or a year, the portfolio could be down. But you're looking with a long-term perspective, a long time horizon. And when you do that and continue to dollar cost average into the market through your 401k, you'll be rewarded over the long haul, because as the market recovers, once we come out the other side of this, and historically speaking, we always do, you will see the growth of that portfolio, and these contributions in this more tumultuous period will pay off down the road. I realize it can be disconcerting in the meantime, but you've just got to stay the course and see the long-term perspective. That's at least my approach. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. I'm just, I listened to Larry Burkett years ago, and he was talking about the economic earthquake, and I kind of feel like that's about to happen.
Yeah.
And you think that in 10 years that I'll be able to recover?
Oh, yeah. I mean, historically speaking, if we were to look at the market's cycles, and it always works in a cycle, and each decade has its own challenges, that's for sure. You know, what we see is that we work our way through those, and we're still the largest and the strongest economy in the world, and we'll do what we need to do, in my view, to pull through this and address the issues that we have. And we've got many of them, but I don't see there it being any kind of a collapse or anything like that. I think the key is, yes, you know, our debt levels are astronomical. We've got some things we've got to address, but I believe we will. We can weather this at the current levels, and if we see signs that something's going the wrong way, we'll have plenty of time to see that coming. In the meantime, if you were to put this in cash, especially given these inflationary times, you'd be losing significant earning potential. I just don't think there's a better alternative right now than to trust the size and strength of the U.S. economy and the fact that these economic cycles are just that, and we'll work our way through it. So in my view, Colleen, I would continue to dollar cost average in as your long-term strategy. And we appreciate your call today. All the best to you. Wesley's in Arkansas. Wesley, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was curious. I have two 401ks through different employers, that I'm no longer with, and so I don't know what to do with that money now or how to transfer it into another account so that it can keep earning.
Yeah. Well, the easiest thing to do, Wesley, and I like the idea of you consolidating this, it's going to make for less upkeep. You'll be in a better position to manage this in terms of the investment selections, making sure there's not any duplication unnecessarily. I would roll them to an IRA. So the first step would be to determine where you want the IRA housed, who you want the custodian to be. It could be a Vanguard or Fidelity or Schwab. You'd open that IRA. Then you'd contact each of your plan administrators at your previous jobs, 401ks, and tell them you want to do a rollover to an IRA. They'd give you the paperwork either physically or electronically. You'd complete it with the new account information for your new IRA, and then the money would transfer back office to that new custodian. That's not a taxable event. It would be deposited as cash, and then you could begin to invest. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
Friendships is looking for full-time volunteer men and women who are serious about serving God, investing time in rewarding work, and helping people in need around the world. There is no charge to serve. Room and board are provided. A willing heart and a desire to work as part of a team are the primary skills required. Check out the opportunities at friendships.org or email portmercy@friendships.org. That's portmercy@friendships.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we head back to the phones, we're joined each Monday by our good friend and contributor here at MoneyWise, Bob Dahl. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. Bob is a longtime Wall Street veteran and a follower of Christ, and we so value his insights on the market and the economy each week. Bob, good afternoon, sir.
Same to you, and happy Monday.
And same to you. Glad to have you with us. This is week two, as you know, Bob, of our new program here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Delighted to introduce you to the American Family Radio audience as somebody who will be a regular part of this program. Hey, would you take just 30 seconds, Bob, and give folks just a thumbnail sketch of your work on Wall Street over a number of decades now? Bob, did we lose you? All right, it looks like we lost Bob there. We will try to get him back, and let me try one more time. Bob, are you with us? Okay, we will get Bob back on the line. We had a little lapse there. Right as I was introducing Bob, I thought, well, I knew he didn't get shy because Bob is never short on words, but we'll get Bob back on the line here. Hey, 800-525-7000. Just by way of introduction, Bob is somebody that I rely on and have for a long, long time, just with his analysis of the markets and the economy, somebody who's worked on Wall Street, managed money at the highest levels and continues today as a institutional manager, a mutual fund manager, but also somebody who really understands the scriptures. He serves on the board of directors at Kingdom Advisors and the National Christian Foundation, is a prolific speaker as well. You will see him at a number of Christian conferences and somebody that a lot of folks rely on. So we're just incredibly honored that he joins us each week to give his insights on the market, but to do it in light of biblical wisdom, which is really what we're all about here at MoneyWise. You know, it's about understanding that money is an incredible tool that God entrusts to us. And when we can understand the counsel of Scripture and apply that to how we handle it each day, it changes everything. Because if we recognize God owns it all, well, we're going to approach every spending decision differently. And I believe that carries on into our investments as well. And the exciting thing is that based on your convictions, there's an entirely new way to think about your investments today, more so than there was 5 years ago, even given the growth of what we call faith-based investing. And Bob sits at the intersection of faith and values and is involved in that as well. So we may or may not be able to get him back with us today. If we can't, we'll certainly get him back on very, very soon. Hey, let me take a couple of emails. By the way, if you'd like to send an email to the program, you can do so at questions@moneywise.org. That's questions@moneywise.org. Let's begin with Jenny. Jenny writes to the program, "What is your perspective on old unpaid debt that's fallen off your credit report? Do we have to pay it off if it's already been forgiven by the creditor?" And Jenny, I appreciate that question. I would take you to Proverbs 3:27. "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." And so I would just simply say, regardless of the status of the debt on your credit report, regardless of whether it's been charged off or not, we need to be paying our debts and making good on our obligations. Now, it may not be, frankly, easy to do because once something has been charged off, once a debt has been removed, oftentimes the creditor doesn't want to have anything to do with it. They've moved on, written it off their balance sheet. But I think we should make every effort to try to get those paid and paid in full. Now, that may involve you reaching out to the creditor or the new owner of the account if it's been sold to a collection agency and negotiating a settlement, and that may be lower than the original balance. They may be willing to take that. And as long as you get that in writing and pay it in full, I think that's perfectly appropriate if they agree to it. And then I would follow up with your credit report to make sure that ultimately, if it is still there, it's reflected as settled or paid in full, as opposed to just showing with an open balance. Now, of course, if it's fallen off the credit report, that's fine. That's actually a good thing in terms of your credit score, but at least you know and have documentation that you have paid it in full. So, Jenny, thank you for your email. If you'd like to send us an email, again, questions@moneywise.org. All right, I'm told that Bob is back with us today. Bob, I'm sorry we lost you, but are you with us?
Take two. Let's try it.
All right, let's do it. Hey, I was just asking if you'd give a quick thumbnail sketch of your tenure and experience on Wall Street over a number of decades.
Certainly. I've been at the investment management business on the U.S. equity side for 40-plus years, so I've seen a lot come and go. Spent all but the last year in secular firms at a faith-based firm now called Crossmark, and just having a joy helping people line up their investments with their values.
Excellent. Well, I know you're a frequent contributor on Fox Business and also on CNBC. We're delighted that you join us each week here on MoneyWise. Well, Bob, give us an update on your deliberations for the week from your investment commentary. What are you watching?
We're watching earnings more than anything else now, Rob. As listeners know, the decline in the stock market year to date has been all about valuations. Yeah. In fact, earnings estimates have moved up as the economy has been reasonably good. The question now is, will the economy slow enough that corporate earnings struggle? Not just because revenues are challenged, but because of cost pressures. Cost pressures from raw materials, from labor, from the supply chain shortages. That's the next concern, and we have to monitor that carefully. As you know, there's still a lot of recession talk out there, and of course, if that happens, earnings will go down.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's talk about inflation. I know out in your weekly commentary was an acknowledgement that disinflationary pressures are beginning to emerge. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, so March was so far the peak in inflation. I know it's still front page headlines and it's still a problem, but inflation is actually slowing, and we think that will continue from here to the end of the year, sadly, to still unacceptable levels. Using round numbers, we were at 2 forever. We went to 8% inflation. I think we'll settle back to the 4 or 5% range. Better than 8, but still not good enough. Some of the comparisons, we call them the base effects, supply chain problems easing a bit, and Congress is gridlocked, so they can't spend any more money, and that was part of the problem that created the inflation when they spent money like it was going out of style.
Yeah. What are the long-term impact effects of higher than base inflation being around 4% or more? I mean, that's going to weigh on the economy, isn't it?
It sure is. It'll weigh on economy. It'll weigh on consumers. I mean, I don't have to tell anybody who's listening, go to the grocery store, or go fill up your car with gasoline, and if the inflation word doesn't cross your mind, I don't know what will. So that is a problem. We've got to tame it, not just for consumers, but for businesses and, frankly, for the markets. Markets prefer a low inflation rate to a high one for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah. What tools does the Fed have at its disposal? Is it more of the same, the action that they're doing right now, or is it going to take something else to get this back in check?
Yeah, so you know the Fed operates in both directions with what we call a blunt instrument, monetary policy, in particular interest rates. So they don't have a scalpel to go say, let's fix it over there, let's go fix it over there. They've acknowledged that they let inflation go too long. So in fact, they made a policy mistake, and that will go in the history books, and it takes a long time to put the genie back in the bottle. And that will, I suspect, haunt us for months and months to come, Rob.
Bob, you mentioned gridlock in Washington. Our listeners who are not familiar with you yet may not realize you put out 10 predictions each year. I know the industry is always interested in what your predictions are for this year. And one of them, you said that Republicans would add 20 to 25 seats in the House and narrowly win the Senate. If accurate, Bob, that'll create even more gridlock through the next presidential election, huh?
It will, certainly from economic policy standpoint. As listeners probably know, a couple of senators, Manchin and Schumer, the leader, are talking about a $1 trillion. That's a small bill, Rob. Hard to use $1 trillion and small in the same sentence. Half of it going to deficit reduction, half to various expenditures. But I think there are enough hurdles and gridlock already that that's probably not going to get through. So if the election outcome that we are and many others predicting, we won't see much, if any, noticeable economic policy changes until 2024.
Yeah, that's great. Bob, last question today, and this one we're going to pull out to a macro view. We had a caller early in the broadcast referencing Larry Burkett's book decades ago about the coming economic earthquake, her concern about the headwinds we have, and what if we were to see a collapse of some kind. Bob, you have seen a lot over the decades in the markets. You also know the end of the story biblically as well, as you think about where we're all headed. What's your best analysis right now on just the trajectory of the U.S. and our economy?
We've got problems. I think that's largely reflected in markets, Rob. We go through good periods, and we had a long good period over the last few years. And now we're struggling to put some of these pieces back together. Yes, we do know the end of the book. I always say God can make $1 trillion of market capitalization be added to the market or disappear. And from time to time that happens, we need to be fixed on the long term and recognize that everything we have is God's.
I love it. Bob, we appreciate you stopping by. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. God bless you.
I look forward to it. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I want to say thank you to my team today, Mr. Jim Henry, Mr. Devin Patrick, Miss Pat Montague. Thank you for being here as well. So honored to be able to join you each morning for Money Wise on American Family Radio as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. I trust you'll have a great day and come back and join us tomorrow for another edition of Money Wise. May the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.